Chatters, chatties, welcome home for A Great American Chat, a podcast where we chat about great American media. I'm Chad Maurice, and Christmas continues here on the podcast. Today we are chatting about Christmas on Windmill Way and the Jingle Bell Jubilee. But before we get into those, the Great American Book Club is meeting on Thursday, January 25th at 7 o'clock Eastern. Cammie and Father Randy will be discussing the book Wuthering Heights by Emily Bronte. And you can get the Zoom link and join in on the fun by signing up on Great American Family's website at greatamericanfamily.com. Now let's get into Christmas on Windmill Way. This one premiered on December 2nd. Stars Krista Taylor Brown and Chad Michael Murray. It's directed by Don McBrearty and written by Billy Schofield. Well, here's our cast of characters. This is the story of Mia. She runs her family's windmill-powered sawmill, and she's also a furniture designer. Anne slash Oma is Mia's grandmother. Her name is Anne, but Mia calls her Oma, which apparently is a German name for grandmother. I didn't know that until I watched this movie. Brady is a guy that Mia went to high school with. He's back in town to buy her sawmill. Ooh, that's the story of the movie. And then there's Lily there. Lily is a friend of Mia's, and she's also her employee, one of her employees. So besides owning a sawmill, Oma also owns a bakery, because owning one business just isn't enough. At the beginning, she is making kürstel for the Christmas market Dutch bake-off. Oma tells Mia that she sold the deed to the Windmill Way property, and she is going to use the money to repair the windmill. The developer said their family will still run the mill and the furniture workshop. They just want to put a hotel on the land next to it. Oma tries to tell her who the developer is, but Mia is not interested. She storms off. Mia goes to the mill to give a tour to a bunch of tourists, and we meet two of her employees, Lily, who is a knitter, and Herb, a toy maker who has a thing for Anna slash Oma. There's a wooden clog hanging from the ceiling, and Mia explains it is used by employees to communicate to each other because the equipment is noisy. So they pass notes to each other, like some of us did in school. Speaking of school, Mia sees Brady on the tour, and he is Mia's high school sweetheart and someone who she has held a grudge against since high school because he didn't ask her to the prom. But little does she know, he did ask her to the prom. He put a note in the wooden clog, but she never found it. Mia says to Brady, "I'd love to catch up, but I have a meeting with some low-life realtor, so scram." Brady says, "I am the low-life realtor. I work for the realtor company that purchased Oma's land." Brady finds out from his boss that his company plans on tearing down the mill and build a resort next to the hotel that they plan on building. So they plan on building two hotels on the same land, one a big one and one a small quaint inn, even though the town already has an inn, which is owned by Lily's husband. So there's going to be three hotels in this little town. I mean, how big is this town? Can it support three hotels? I don't know. Lily creates an online petition to save the mill, and Mia does a TV interview with the local news. Now it's time for the Christmas market. Brady tells Mia he is going to approach Walt, the guy building the resort, and try to convince him to build someplace else. Anne wins the bakery competition with her kürstel. Mia gets an idea to register the mill as a historic landmark in order to save it. So she meets with the mayor. The mayor tells her the town council likes the resort idea because of the added revenue it will bring in. Brady gets a voicemail from Walt, the guy building the resort. He tells Brady he likes the other location Brady suggested for his resort, but he is still going to demolish the mill. Next morning, Brady's boss shows up unannounced. He says he is looking forward to the meeting with Walt and tells Brady the promotion that he's been wanting will be his. There's always a promotion in these movies. Somebody's always looking for a promotion. Brady goes to the mill to see Mia and finds the note he left in the clog back when they were in high school, when he asked her to the prom. It's been sitting in there all these years. He confesses his feelings to her and she shuts him down. The Christmas market is still going on the next day. Apparently, it lasts more than one day. Mia finds out that the windmill has been declared a historical landmark, like she wanted. Wait a minute. Meanwhile, Brady is in a meeting with Walt and his boss. Mia barges in and tells them the windmill is now a historical landmark and cannot be torn down. Brady tells his boss he is quitting. Walt likes Brady's pitch for the new location for the resort and offers him a job, but Brady, like a fool, turns it down. What are you thinking? You never turn down a job offer. He tells Mia he is going to stay in town and open a photography business. Then Mia and Brady dance to Auld Lang Syne. They confess their love for each other and they kiss. And that's it. They're going to make furniture, take pictures, happily ever after. So, this is a short recap because not a lot happens in this movie. Most of the movie is just them sitting around and talking about how to save the windmill. So, Anne does win a baking competition. And Bradley and Mia compete in a cornhole contest where they're throwing bean bags through this little hole. And they also decorate ornaments. And that's about all that happens in this movie. And unfortunately, there's nothing original in this movie. Besides the setting, I like the setting. The setting was good. The sawmill and the Dutch traditions. That part I liked. But this is just your typical story that we've seen hundreds of times. Big man of business is going to demolish the cherished local business, and the female lead saves it by declaring it a historical landmark. Yeah, we've seen this storyline a lot. But what's different about this movie is the man in this movie is from the big city, and he quits his job to stay in the small town. Usually it's the other way around. Usually the woman is from the big city, and she comes to the small town and then decides to stay. So they switched it up a little bit. So this movie was just okay for me. You know, it's not fantastic, but it's certainly not bad. I mean, it's entertaining. I liked the settings and the scenery. I liked the Dutch and German traditions that are featured in this movie. I liked all the scenes that occurred inside the sawmill, like where they're making the toys and making the furniture. That was cool. Anne's bakery was nice. I liked seeing that. The wooden clog hanging from the ceiling and how they used it to advance the prom storyline. That was good. I have to say, this is the first windmill-powered sawmill setting that I've ever seen. So that's the one thing that makes this movie unique, is the setting. The Dutch costumes are pretty cool that Erin Agostino is wearing. She's the actress who plays Lily in this movie. Those were neat. And the supporting cast is good, like Erin, who has a supporting role as Lily in this movie. We're going to see her in the next movie that I'm going to chat about. She's the lead in the next one. And it was fun to see Marcia Bennett, who played Anne/Oma, the grandmother. She's been in a lot of these movies, so I've seen her in a lot of stuff. So I was surprised to see her in this one. And the gentleman playing Walt, his name is Darren Baker. You might recognize him. He was in Fall into Winter, which premiered last January. He played Lori Loughlin's brother in that movie. So it was fun to see him in this movie. So yeah, the cast was good. Chad and Krista, I thought they were good together. The meet cute was pretty fun. Him showing up on her mill tour, that was kind of neat. So this movie, if you still have it on your DVR and you haven't watched it yet, I'll tell you this, just expect a familiar story that you've seen before, but with a different picturesque setting. That's a good way to describe this movie. I think the setting is where this movie really shines. Now let's get into the Jingle Bell Jubilee. This one premiered on December 3rd, stars Aaron Agostino, who, like I said, we saw in the last movie, and also Marshall Williams. It's directed by Ernie Barbarash, and it's written by Joel and Lisa Canfield, Lori Hope, and Roz Mihalko. So this is the story of Hope, Nate, Allison, and Andy. Hope is a teacher in Larchmont Falls. Nate is a guy who went to school with Hope. Allison is the school's vice principal of the school where Hope teaches. And Andy is a semi-pro hockey player who used to date Hope. Nate and his son Brandon just moved back to town because Nate grew up in this town. Nate has been hired by the mayor, who looks like Santa, to be the city manager. His job is to organize the annual Christmas festival and the Jingle Bell Jubilee dance that City Hall puts on. He checks his son into school where Hope teaches, and he meets the vice principal, Allison. And Allison likes Nate. Nate is roaming the hallways, and he sees Hope, who he knew back in school. They took calculus together. Hope barely remembers him. She is decorating a cedar chest in her classroom for kids to put gifts in for families in need. She calls it re-giftmas, a tradition that her grandmother started. Hope explains that her grandmother started it because she felt Christmas had gotten too commercial. Yeah, Grandma's right about that, for sure. Hope and Allison, the vice principal, go out for huge cups of hot chocolate. Yeah, they were gigantic. Look at those things. I want one of those. Bigger the better as far as hot chocolate goes. They are discussing what movie to see. Hope says, let's go see Christmas at the Drive-In, which was pretty funny because that was Danica's movie from last year, Christmas at the Drive-In. So it's funny that they referenced another Great American Family movie in this one. Allison asks about Nate. Hope says he is a widower. Allison says, why don't you fix us up? Hope says, I'm going to pick out a Christmas tree with Andy. Why don't you and Nate come with us? Andy is this pro hockey player, like I mentioned before, that Hope used to date. Nate asks the mayor, where are all the gifts for the Christmas charity drive for the Jubilee dance? The mayor, him, haws around and says, well, we have a few, but we don't have enough. Nate asks Hope if he can use her re-giftmas idea for the entire city to get gifts for the Christmas charity drive. And he wants her to pitch the idea to the mayor. She loves the idea. She says, yeah, I'll talk to the mayor. Nate meets Andy when the four of them shop for Christmas trees. Andy finds a tree, and then he goes back to his car to get his wallet. Nate asks Hope to have hot cocoa with him so he can talk to her about the re-giftmas idea. Then they both just leave poor Allison standing by herself in this tree lot. They don't ask her to go with them, which was a little rude. Hope tells Nate that Allison is into him. I guess that's why they had to leave her standing there so that they could talk about her when she wasn't around. He says he hasn't thought about dating since his wife passed. Andy tells Hope he misses hanging out with her and that they should hang out sometime. She shuts that idea down and then gets jealous when she sees Nate and Allison picking out a tree together. Oh, the plot thickens. Nate has Hope pitch the re-giftmas idea to the mayor, and he loves it. Nate's advertising techniques for the re-giftmas isn't working out so well, so he has Hope do an interview with the local TV news to promote it in the only way that she can. Nate decides that he and Allison aren't a good match, so he asks Hope to apologize to Allison for blowing off plans with her. Hey, man, why don't you be a man and apologize yourself? Don't ask Hope to do it for you. Come on, that's not right. Nate and Hope are walking around where the festival will be held. Hope sees the Santa photo board that they took pictures in when they were kids, so they pose for a picture. Hope encourages Allison to keep pursuing Nate, even though Nate told her that he and Allison aren't a good match. Oh, yeah, I'm not sure. I was confused by that. I'm not sure what was going on there. The TV interview that Hope did promoting the re-giftmas is a huge success, and the gifts are pouring into town hall, and they realize that they need to wrap all these gifts. So Hope suggests a wrapping party for her, Nate, Allison, and Andy. And she will host it at her house. Andy finds out that Allison likes hockey, and Nate helps Hope in the kitchen with the dishes. Oh, and they have an almost kiss. Andy shows up at town hall and tells Nate he has something he needs to talk to Hope about, but won't tell him what it's about. Andy is being really weird in this scene. So at this point, we don't know what is going on with him, but we will find out later. Nate and Hope spend more time together, and he wants to know what's going on with her and Andy. That's right. Because he thinks there's something going on between Andy and Hope there. Hope is like, hey, there's nothing going on with Andy and I. Okay, now it's time for the big Christmas festival. The important thing that Andy wanted to ask Hope is if she will find out how Allison feels about Nate, because Andy has a crush on Allison. Oh, man, everybody's crushing on everybody in this movie. Hope tells Allison, and it turns out she has a crush on Andy. Woo! So they've been dating the wrong people this whole movie. Hope practically throws herself at Nate, but he tells her that all his dates with Allison has convinced him that he isn't ready to start dating yet. It is too soon after his wife's death. The mayor tells Nate and Hope he wants to see them at the big dance, the Jingle Bell Jubilee. Nate asks Hope if she will be there. She says no, she's going to go home and rest. So Nate shows up at the dance and he's looking around, hoping that Hope shows up. She has a change of heart, and she does show up. They confess their love to each other and kiss on the dance floor, and everyone stares at them and awkwardly applauds. Yeah, this ending reminded me of the end of Titanic when Jack and Rose are at the top of the staircase and all the dead passengers are applauding and cheering. Now, if you saw people in public just all of a sudden start kissing, would you just start applauding? No, I'd be like, ew, that'd be kind of weird, man. Anyway, that's what happens in all these movies. So this movie I actually enjoyed. I enjoyed the storyline. I liked the story of the lead fixing a guy up with someone, even though she is interested in him. It's the same story as the movie One Perfect Match, if you remember, the Merritt Patterson movie from back in the fall. She was fixing up a guy that she liked with someone else as well. And the title of this movie is appropriate, The Jingle Bell Jubilee, although it could have been also titled Re-Giftmas, since that is one of the themes in the movie. And I enjoyed that part of the movie where this Christmas theme, because this movie does have a little bit of a Christmas theme to it, this theme of gifting people in need items that you no longer need or want. You know, most of these movies are just movies that take place at Christmas time, but they don't have a Christmas theme. But this one does have a little bit of a Christmas theme. So that's what I like about this one. Aaron and Marshall, I think have good chemistry in this movie. And as well, I like the supporting cast in this one. I thought the mayor might turn out to be Santa at the beginning of the movie. I thought that's where it might go, because the actor who plays the mayor played Santa in another Christmas movie that I saw last month on another network. So as far as this movie goes, I think I like this movie better than the Windmill Way movie. I think it had a little bit better storyline, I thought. And like I said before, I enjoyed the Christmas theme in this movie. So that wraps up those two movies. I've got, I think I have five more movies to recap to get caught up. I'm trying my best. And so I have a few more movies left to recap. And I'm also going to do a ranking episode where I'm going to rank all 21 Great American Christmas movies from 21 to 1. And I'm hopefully going to find someone to join me for that. Up next, I'm going to chat about Designing Christmas with You and Meet Me Under the Mistletoe. Those two movies are on deck. So until we chat again and we talk about those movies, you keep the faith, keep smiling, keep your friends close, and keep your great American family closer.